10th mission of the first parak, looking at the Rabbeinu Yonah's parish on Pirkei Avos, and we are at Snaas HaRabbanus, despise the rabbinate. First we have to understand what it means and what the intention of the Mishnah is, or what it might be. Some Mefarshim, Rabbeinu Yonah included, understands that this goes with the phrase before, Ehavas HaMelacha, Snaas HaRabbanus. Like work and despise the attitude of sitting and doing nothing and ordering other people around, being in a position of assigning others, and therefore holding that there are certain things that are below one's dignity to do. So here Rabbeinu Yonah understands this all to be an extension of the Havas HaMelacha. It's the attitude that a person should take any kind of work, whatever it is, as the quotes from the Gemara, even what others might consider to be demeaning work, but if it's work, it's a good thing, and snaas HaRabbanus, and despise dominion over others. Other Mefarshim understand this to mean snaas HaRabbanus, despise rabbinic leadership, despise it. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that as non-rabbis, we as Jews should hate rabbis, we should hate rabbinic leadership, even though sometimes in other communities there is some such a pastime that they fulfill it with chumrah. Thank God that doesn't apply here. What it means is that the rabbi, the rav, the one who is occupying the rabbanah, should hate the rabbanah. You know, the idea should be, and some understand it to mean, Ehavas HaMelacha, love the work of rabbanah, love the service, and not the dominion over others, the supposed power over others, the influence over others, that one should despise. I want to show you how the Ramchal takes this in his discussion in Midas HaAnava, when he's talking about humility, in chapter 22 of the Mesilas Yesharim. So he quotes this Mishnah, and he says, in one breath, Sinas HaRabbanus Abrichas HaKavod, despising Rabbanus, whatever that is, doesn't necessarily mean the rabbinate, but it means despising dominion over others. A brichas hakavod, running away from kavod. Mishnah aruchahi, it's a whole clear set out Mishnah in the first parak of Avos. Havas hamalachas snaas harabanus, and they said, I'll do a loose translation here. Sages also say hagat riba bahara, one who is haughty in issuing halachic rulings, shota, rasha begas ruach. He's a shota and an evil person, who allows himself through issuing rabbinic rulings, halachic rulings, to somehow let it reflect on himself. Then the sages say, anybody who runs after kavod, kavod runs away from him. He goes on and he says, anybody who accepts dominion in order to benefit from it, it's like an adulterer who benefits, so to speak, from the physical pleasure of adultery, which means that he's using it for the wrong purpose, to be able to use shorah, to use his dominion in order to build himself up for his own ego. That's a despicable thing. And he goes on. Rabbi Gamliel, who were told by Rabbi Gamliel when they were in the Kabbalah Shrara, he said to them do you think that I'm giving you Shrara, that I'm giving you dominion, power? I'm giving you slavery. That's the way it is supposed to look at it, that you're serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu, serving Klal Yisrael. And there are, countless stories of Rabbanim throughout the ages who saw themselves literally as servants of the Tzibur and nothing else. And that's, Yaakov Kamenetsky in his parish on others, and Emes Yaakov says, what do you mean? Who's supposed to be a Rav? So he says, obviously, a person who's supposed to be a Rav is somebody who actually sees himself as capable of doing it, and he should despise the aspects of the power and a supposed illusory cover that come with it. The Mesil Sashram goes on to talk about it. He says, that a person in public position, after a while, despises hearing the praise that they say about him because he knows it's not true. And not only is it not true, but it causes him humiliation because he knows how exaggerated it is. So that never bothered me. But he's talking in chapter 22 of Mitzvot Hashem. When you get to that chapter, you're on a level where false praise actually bothers you. The Chavetz Chaim had a son-in-law. The Chavetz Chaim had a son-in-law who sought a certain position of Rabbanus and was turned down. Or it didn't come. Or it was turned down. It didn't happen. He was despondent. And it's very funny because the Chavetz Chaim, who is the author of Shmiras HaLashon, told his son-in-law, after he saw that he could not comfort him, he told his son-in-law a story on condition that he not tell anybody. And now I'm going to tell you the story. Okay? And the reason that it's public is because he said, until after I die. So Chavetz Chaim was, as we know, the Rosh Hashiva in Radin. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Radin. There was a short period of time when he was the Rav in Radin, where he served as, there was a Rosh Hashiva. And there's a Rav, two distinct roles, and they are distinct roles. And during his tenure as Rav, one of the local butchers was caught selling treif meat. Happened even in Radin. And the Chavetz Chaim removed the certification, and he also fined the person. And the fine had to do with a certain volume of candles that he had to provide for the Beis Medrash, besides removing him from his position of trust in the community. After a while, this person came begging and crying to the Chavetz Chaim. That's when he imposed the fine. He said, okay, I'll reinstitute it, but you also have to pay a fine. The Chavetz Chaim saw that he was sincere, and the Chavetz Chaim in his words were that the Midas HaRachamim, together with Midas HaDin, saw that we should reinstate him, and they reinstated him. The person didn't live too long, and he died. He died shortly thereafter. And Chavetz Chaim says he's sitting in the Beis Medrash in Ezras Neshim, where he always used to learn, and he fell asleep, and a Beis Din appears in front of him. Three elderly people appear in front of him, and they say, Yisrael Meir, when you imposed the fine on this butcher, did you do it as an atonement for him? Was it designed to show others that they shouldn't do it? Was it for the purpose of just levying a fine to make sure he doesn't do it again? What was the purpose of this thing? So the fine couldn't answer at first, and they said, we'll wait until you settle down and calm down, and then we'll take your answer. And he answered, I did it in order to make sure that nobody else does such a thing. So that was it. A few days later, the Chavetz Chaim relates to his son-in-law that he again fell asleep, and the butcher came to him in a dream. The butcher said to him, what did you do to me? So what do you mean? He says, I was in front of the Beis in Shomala, and they were asking, and they were going to send me to Gehenna. And I said, I already paid a fine, and I already had kapara. The Chavetz Chaim already extracted a fine from me. And they said, was it meant for kapara? Was it meant for something else? He said, I don't know. And they asked you, and you told them that it wasn't meant for kapara, and therefore I had to suffer Gehenna. So the Chavetz Chaim said to his son-in-law, you don't want to be a Rav. You don't want to be a Rav. Because of that. And that's why he himself got out of that position in Radin.